Yes, the kids have worked really hard for the last 2 months with Tammy, and they're going to be performing next week. It's going to be great. Right, let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this time. Lord, I want to thank you for the privilege and the honor it is to be in your house this morning and to share your word. And Lord, we pray for Ray and Wayuku and for Vek and Maramar as well, that you'd be with them. And Lord, I pray that every person here will open their hearts and are ready to receive the word. Amen. Amen. So the other day, I sat down at my desk, because that's what we do, and said, okay, Jesus, what are we going to preach about today? And this song just all of a sudden started going on and on and on in my head. And so we are going to listen to it. Is my number one. Do you remember when you said yes to Jesus? When you said, yes, Jesus, I believe in you. When you said, I want to follow you. Now, the Bible has about 21 times across the Gospels conversations where Jesus said, follow me. Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishes of men. Matthew 9:9. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said, follow me. John 21:22, Jesus said to him, if it's my will that he remain until I come, what's that to you? Follow me. Now imagine most of you have said at some point, Jesus, I will follow you. Maybe it was about 50 years ago. Maybe it was 10 years ago. Maybe it was last week. Maybe today you will say, I will follow him. When you said you'd follow him, the sky was bluer, the grass was greener, the sun was brighter, and you ran around and told everybody about Jesus. Do you remember that feeling? Anyone online remember that feeling? Remember that feeling? You know, when you started to follow Jesus, you left behind bad habits, your old ways, and you started to live a life committed to him. Now, the fishermen in our scripture left behind their identity, their livelihood. They had to leave their own priorities and do what Jesus asked of them. They had to learn new things and leave behind some of their own opinions. I think sometimes we forget or fail to appreciate how much this would have turned the disciples' lives upside down. So, do we have a right to expect any less when we respond to Jesus' invitation to follow him? Do we? Do we have a right to expect anything less when we respond to Jesus' invitation to follow him? To follow Jesus means to imitate him. It's doing what he would do, having values that he has. To follow him daily means making the choice to live in a way that honors him. But Jesus never said it would be easy. In fact, he makes it clear in Luke 9:23 that following him requires sacrifice and commitment, and that you will have to take up his cross daily. To following Jesus involves self-denial, that you would need to bear some personal hardships, and you need to surrender your personal desires. So as I'm sitting at my desk, thinking about all of this, and the song is now well and truly stuck in my head, and yes, all of you will be singing it by the end of the sermon, you are welcome. I started to think about the journey, my journey with Jesus, from the day I said I would follow him. It's like going on this really exciting trip. We get up Mrs. Google to show us the way. We know our starting point. We know our destination, heaven. And Mrs. Google shows us what roads to take, what towns to go through, where we stay, where we keep going. But Mrs. Google does not show us the road signs along the way. Our Bible tells us how to get to our destination, but that actually means we have to make an effort, pay the cost. Take that time for the travel. You have to stay here and there. Now, God's map is reliable. It is practical. It tells us how to live life, and it explains everything we need to know for our journey in following him. But there are road signs along the way. God posts them there. But we don't always see them, or we ignore them, or we are driving too fast, or we're just not paying attention to them. So you're on your journey, and all of a sudden, there is this road sign. One way. Now, there was a famous time back in Israel where Ray said, oh, can you just do the pickup for church this morning? I went, oh, yeah, I can do that. So I hop in the van, ready to pick everybody up. And I'm driving down this road and thinking, why does Ray never go this way? It's so much shorter. And as I'm driving, people are tooting at me and some people are flashing their lights at me. And I'm thinking, wow, and I'm waving at them going, everybody's so friendly here in Jerusalem. I know, I'm a bit blonde. Anyway, till I got to the end of the road and I'm parked at the end of the road and I have to turn that way and I'm looking, why have they got traffic lights? And they got traffic lights, but I got none. Ah, okay, I went down the wrong way. All right. When God says this way, maybe God is saying to you, go this way and start doing some extra study. Maybe God is saying, go this way and become a worship director. Maybe God is saying to you, go this way, there's a job. Maybe God is saying, go and live in sunny Hamilton. Maybe become a pastor, etc., etc. And then all these little voices come along. Study? You're not so that clever. You're not clever enough. Why don't you just go the other way? It's going to be so much better. Worship director? Well, you can't even play the drums. Why don't you go and play for a band somewhere and you might get paid? Job? Why do you want that job over there? Just stay here. Right over there. I'll give you more money. Hamilton? Oh. Pastor? When you say pastor, there's like 1,000 voices. But it's so easy to listen to those voices. But there's only one voice we need to listen to, saying one way, follow me. When God says go this way, then there is a reason. He knows what is best for us. He knows if we go against it or turn the other way, that there could be trouble and temptations. So our first road sign on our journey is one way. It's a direction to follow God's direction. We continue on our journey and we come to the next road sign. Do not enter. Now a road sign like that's really tempting because all you want to do is enter. Maureen's shaking yes. But this is territory God wants you to stay out of. That sign could mean a temptation. For example, if you struggle with alcohol, then do not enter the pub. If you are struggling with gambling, do not enter. There are plenty of places to go to instead where it's safe for you to go. God wants you to show up there instead. You need to stay on your road. Now, all of our roads are different. Don't worry about everybody else's road. You have to answer to God about what he has asked of you, not what he has asked of other people to do. The do not enter is a sign on your journey to listen to and to trust God with. We are following Mrs. Google, all is well, till we come to this sign. Under construction. It's a wonderful road sign. The old road is being removed for a better road. Now, the construction does not happen overnight. It takes time. It's a lot of work, but it needs to be done, and it is a process. But the end result is fantastic because we're going to have a much safer road to travel on. Now, I've been under construction several times. You know, there was a time way early in my Christian walk that God told me to remove my invisible wall that no one else could see. I had built a wonderful wall around me. I had been so hurt in the past that no one else was going to touch me ever again. Does anyone relate to that? Okay, well, I had a big wall. Oh, thank you. Some people relate to that. Right? And then God told me to break it down. Told me to move it. Talk about being under construction. I was so scared because that was my protection. And it was quite a process. But it's the best thing I ever did. To totally surrender to God, absolutely and completely, and to trust him 100%. God is not finished with any of you. If you want God to work on you, even though it hurts and it takes time, let him. Through your tears, let him help you with your addiction. Help set you free from those bad habits. Help you with the problems that you're facing today. If you have a desire to follow Jesus, then allow him to do some construction work in your heart and in your life. The under construction sign will appear several times along your journey. Our next sign is stop. Stop is stop, although many people seem to think it means give way. Put the brakes on now, or something could go terribly wrong. The stop sign is there for a reason. It is there to control the flow of the traffic. It prevents us from accidents and injuries while going about our business in life. So where do we need to stop at times? Well, the first thing I thought of was our words. Our words can break people. Our words can leave some terrible wounds. There are words that you just can't forget. And it can actually affect the rest of your lives. True? Stop. Let's not be the people speaking those words. Let's be people that give encouraging words, loving words, and caring words. Or maybe stop for you could mean stop that horrible behavior, or stop that sin, or stop that evil thing. When God says stop, stop. He only wants the best for us. If you keep going through life, doing whatever you want, and missing this road sign, you could get hurt. We continue on our journey today, and we come along to this sign. Turn around. You ended up at a dead end. God is talking to you to get out of that situation. Listen to him and do what he says. Don't argue about it. Just obey and turn around. If you don't turn from your sin and destruction, life could go terribly wrong and even spiral out of control. That turnaround is frightening. You can go hard out for God. Church every week. You are on fire. Telling people about Jesus, etc., etc., etc. And that voice, that devil comes along because he knows your weaknesses. He's pretty clever like that. And just that little word of gossip or that little wink or that little nudge, that word. And God is desperately trying to tell you to turn around. Listen to his voice, and only his voice. Turn around. Our next sign is no stopping. No stopping reminds me that God does not want us to become stagnant in our Christian life, to sit in our lazy boy watching the world go past. We need to grow in him. We need to learn. We need to study. I mean, there is so much to do in this world. You are all here because you're called to Hamilton. Hamilton is quite a mission field. There are a lot of lost people out here. Ask God what he wants you to do. I mean, you might never be a music director, but you can pray for our music teams. You might never be a youth leader, but you could come on a Friday night and start the barbecue for them. You can all go to hospital and visit people or see the elderly in the rest homes. You can make a meal for someone, have a coffee, babysit. But like I said, whatever you do, don't become stagnant. Our journey in following Jesus is just full of road signs. But some road signs become very confusing. What to do, where to go, and some signs just don't even make any sense. I'm going to read a scripture to you from Jeremiah 31, 21 to 22. And I am reading from Jeremiah. Set up road signs, put up guideposts, take note of the highway, the road that you take. Return, Virgin Israel, return to your towns. How long will you wander, unfaithful daughter Israel? So the nation of Israel had been drifting, wandering away from God. They had lost their way. And God says, take note of the highway, the road that you take. I think Israel got confused with all of their road signs. They were wandering around and had to turn around. Israel's heart was not on God, and God had to correct them. They had failed to pay attention to God's road signs and warnings. And it's so easy to do. We see road signs all the time and everywhere that you tend to overlook them. Does it say stop or give way? When Israel stopped paying attention to the signs, it caused them to wander. And then there are lots of warning signs, and we understand warning signs. Watch out for trains, slippery roads, no road markings, and watch out for old people. We need to pay close attention to these signs as Christians. There are consequences. There are consequences for some of the things we do that's wrong before Jesus. You know, there's so many stories in the Bible of people ignoring the warning signs. And we're going to look at one example, and his name is Samson. The story is in Judges 13 to 16. You know Samson? So there's this couple named Zorah and Mrs. Zorah, and they could not have children. But an angel appeared and said they would have a son. The angel gave them instructions that this boy was not to drink wine, not to have fermented drinks, not to have anything unclean, that his head was not allowed to be shaven and his hair was not allowed to be cut. Remember the story? He was dedicated to God, and his purpose in life was to lead Israel and defeat the Philistines. God wasn't happy with the Philistines because they worshipped false gods. So the parents named him Samson, and the Spirit of the Lord stirred in him, in Samson. First warning sign. He saw a pretty young Philistine girl. I mean, stop right there. He didn't. Does God want him to marry into the Philistines? No. Second warning. He told his mom and dad to go and get her for him. But getting other people involved with the sin. I mean, turn around. Third. This dude, I tell you, he kills a lion. But when he saw his kill later on, there was honey in the carcass. I mean, no stopping sign right here. What does he do? He gets the honey. He's not allowed to touch anything unclean. Then he gives the honey to his mother and father. Involves other people in a sin. Fourth, he had a feast and gave a riddle. And when anyone guessed it, he would give them 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. Then the wife cries for 7 days. He gives in, told him what the riddle meant, so she told the people of the Philistines. Samson was so angry, he kills 30 people and gives his wife away. Stop! Five. He's missing his wife. Goes to see her. Forgot he gave her away. He's so angry that he gets 300 foxes, puts them in pairs, ties their tails together, puts a torch in between the tail and sends them into the Philistine vineyards, olive groves, and grain to burn it all down. So many warning signs here. If you don't know the story, read it. It's a good read. So, now the Philistines are coming for Samson. They tie him up, forgetting how strong he is, And it kills 1,000 men with a donkey's jawbone. Seriously, it's a good read. But there's no warning sign needed because this is what he was called to do. He led Israel for 20 years. He did well. Till the next warning signs he ignored. I mean, turn, stop, watch out, no stopping, the whole lot here. Because he falls in love with Delilah. And the Philistines want her to find out about the secret of his strength. I mean, you'd think he'd learn from his first wife, right? He tells her. They shave his head, put shackles on him, take out his eyes, and put him in prison. I'm calling that sign under construction. Samson's life had a victorious ending as well as a tragic one. He took down the Philistines, but lost his own life in the process. Makes you wonder, what if he had chosen to look at all those warning signs? Would his life have been different? If you want to follow Jesus, watch out for the road signs. Sometimes we think we know it all. We are so secure in Jesus, nothing can touch us. And we miss a warning sign. It's just as well that we serve such an amazing God who's loving and forgiving. Because the moment we humble ourselves before him and say that we are sorry, we can start a new day, a new chapter, and move on. Please, don't be a Samson. Our journey in following Jesus. As we journey through life, the road signs are there to help us. You can hang on to that steering wheel and hope for the best. But realize there are dangers along the way that can sidetrack us and lead us the wrong way, just like the Israelites and Samson. If you follow the right road, it will give you joy in life. And of course, eternal life with Jesus. Our journey is full of signs. Do we take this job? Where shall I live? Should I trust this person? Is this person the right partner for me? So many options. It can be overwhelming. But remember, the signs are there to help us, and so is God. The Lord himself goes before you. He will be with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So in finishing, will you follow him? Jesus did not want a large number of half-committed Christians or disciples. But Jesus wanted 12 fully committed disciples, and those 12 changed the world. We are called to be fully committed to Jesus. What has Jesus asked of you? Are you doing it? Have you done it? Will you do it? Are you ready to say today, where you lead, I will follow? Let's stand. And Eleanor, I have a little gift for you. It's up to you if you want it. It's a car sticker because we have gone on a journey, but I stuck mine in the Bible. And if you're ready to follow him, and if you would like my little gift that I've bought for you, then come forward to Eleanor and to Boa, and they will give it to you. And then maybe afterwards, if you just can go back to your seats so I can close in prayer with everybody together. But this morning, if you've never said yes to Jesus, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. Yes, Jesus, I want to commit my life to you. Then come and see me and I'd love to pray with you. Or maybe this morning something has touched you in this message and you realize, actually, I'm not actually doing anything for Jesus. And you want to recommit your life to Jesus, then come. So when you're ready, come forward. For every single one here today. Lord, help us to see the road signs. Help us to take note of them. Help us to follow you. And no matter what, to trust you. Lord, with every sign that we come along. And Lord, as we journey along your path and on your road, help us to only listen to your voice and not all the other little ones beside us. Help us to trust you no matter what. Lord Jesus, I want to pray that every single person today and online will have a wonderful week as we come back next week for your church's birthday. In your mighty name. Amen. 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 Have an awesome week, everyone.